B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bell. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 3:03 in the afternoon here on Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Great way to catch us live on the stream or on the replay. NFL free agency day two. It really starts tomorrow at 4, but the tampering period has become the signing period. And so now we're over a day into this thing. How do you feel about your Patriots right about now?
Not great.
Good start, Maz.
Well, look, I mean, you know, they haven't really added anybody yet, or they haven't added anybody. They've lost Flowers. They've lost Brown. I mean, I like the Bennett pickup, but he's a bit of a wild card. And to me, the part that is most worrisome is some of the guys I thought they'd be in on the receiving core, they've missed out on. The prices are high. The Patriots aren't buying. And, you know, to me, these are guys that I thought would be good fits for them, whether it was Jameson Crowder or Adam Humphries. That part is the part that I worry about the most.
Yeah, the Humphries thing that they were in on and at the last second or whatever the hell fell apart there, that they fell out on him, considering what the wide receiver core still looks like as of today. I don't feel great about it. And I don't know, just feels like everyone's doing something except for them. But like you've been saying, is it really going to matter in the end? Probably not. But I don't know. I'm concerned, especially at wide receiver, that they let Flowers go. And now that we know what the money is, I get that they weren't going to end up giving them that kind of dough. But I don't know. A little bit concerned, sure.
So how do you feel, Boston? Again, you've lost two of your best players for really nothing in return. You'll get maybe comp picks here next year, which are, you know, top of the fourth, end of the third. So you've lost, you know, a good left tackle, one of the best in the league last year. You've lost your best defensive lineman for sure, maybe your best defensive player. You missed out on, as these guys just mentioned, you know, you went after a receiver in Adam Humphries, but all these other sort of slot guys that sort of profiled for your team, whether it's Beasley, Humphries, who's the kid that went to the Jets from the Redskins?
Jameson Crowder. Yeah.
Jameson Crowder. That whole little grouping of receivers was, you know, was you were thought to be in on. They're all off the board. Your one addition is a talented defensive lineman who is old and is a giant pain in the balls, like you read about, and is going to be, at least externally, a distraction all year. And we'll get to Michael Bennett coming up. I don't know if it's going to be internal, if it's going to affect them, but externally, this is someone that's going to, this is something and someone that's going to take a chunk out of the Patriots conversation all year long. And it's going to kind of suck. It's going to get political and, you know, all sorts of stuff that just gets aggravating. But that's coming. So that, you know, that's been your offseason so far. How do you feel about it? You know, it feels like the, you know, the experience here with the Patriots and free agency is just sitting back and calling everyone else stupid, no matter what they do, no matter what someone does, you know, because I hear it all day. So the thing that really gets me and strikes me is the commentary, right? It's, well, anyone else who signs somebody is stupid, right? Anyone else who signs someone is stupid. Dumb money, stupid money. The player's not worth it. They're dumb. The Bills are dumb. The Jets are dumb. The Lions are dumb. Everyone's dumb who signs anybody. Or if you don't sign your own player and you lose a player in free agency, you're dumb because you got in cap jail and lost a player. That never applies here, by the way. I heard Zoe saying today, you know, Jacksonville, cap jail. They had to get rid of two defensive players. And Malik Jackson and the other kid. I can't remember his name.
Tashaun Gibson, I know.
Thank you, Gibson. Had to get rid of Malik Jackson and Gibson because they're in cap jail. Well, you just got rid of Trey Flowers. Does that mean you're in cap jail? But no. See, here they're smart. Like, here they're just prudent.
Trey Flowers is a system player, Mike.
Well, this is the system. This is this. Well, that's a different thing. Whatever. Here they're smart. Anywhere else where you've lost a player in free agency, you're in cap jail. Anywhere else where you sign, and so anyone else who signs someone is dumb. So really, this is what the experience has become. Just sitting back and calling everyone else stupid, no matter what they do.
You hear that, Jimmy? He's getting his teeth back.
I'm not getting my teeth. I'm not telling you. I'm not. No, I'm just telling you what this is. This is what the commentary is. Because you can't, it's hard to comment on your own team when they really do nothing. They don't do anything these days, generally speaking.
Wasn't this one of the initial Felger and Maz commandments? Everyone else is stupid.
Well, when it comes to Patriots commentary, it is. And you know, here's another thing that you hear. Not exactly what Jimmy just said, but what the Patriots have done here, which is Let a high-priced player go, replace him with a cheaper replacement, get the same production. That's the system. This is the system. This is what they always do. This is the system. This is the system. This is why they win championships, the system. You hear people say this. This is why they win championships. I can't wait for them to try this system out when Josh McDaniels is the coach and Blake Bortles is the quarterback. Let's see how this system works when Richmond Webb, is that the name of the West Virginia quarterback?
Who's
the West Virginia quarterback?
Will Greer.
Who's Richmond Webb?
The left tackle for the Miami Dolphins years ago.
Jeez.
Sorry. What's the name of the...
Will Greer.
Let's see how the system works when Will... It's still not as bad as Garrett Morris. let's see how the system works when Will Greer is the quarterback and Josh McDaniels is your head coach.
Yeah, I'm going to bet it doesn't.
Well, I'm just curious. People still say this with a straight face, though. This is the system and this is why they win. Really? Really? Okay. So, when Inspector Webb here and Josh McDaniels are the quarterback and the coach, let's try out your... I pray to God, please don't ever change your system. Don't change it. Do the exact same thing. When Joe Blow is your quarterback and Harold Fenefesi is your coach, please do that. Do the same system so then I can see if it's really the system or, I don't know, is it the singular brilliance of the coach who coaches everybody up so he can make all sorts of personnel mistakes, but he covers up for it because he's so damn good at coaching guys up. Or the quarterback who, when the coach doesn't coach him up, just throws for 375 yards. And so show me this system when you just have regular people at the coach and the quarterback position, and then tell me how your system works. I mean, do people really believe that it's the system?
Oh, I think some people do, yeah. I think some people do, which is terrifying, because if it were that simple, then everyone would do it. And the reality is, to me, the system part of it, and look, I don't want to, you know, because I've always maintained you that I deem Brady more important than Bill, not to get on that road. But the system part of it is the coach. His ability to take... 80% of a player and get 100% return, or 75% of a player and get 100% return, like Michael Bennett for Trey Flowers, is really what saves them the money.
So I'll give you another. Jamie Collins, they don't want to pay. Send him out the door. They bring in Kyle Van Noy. Okay? Jamie Collins, elite athlete, elite talent. Kyle Van Noy, just a guy. Let me see another coach do that exchange and get more out of Kyle Van Noy than he got. So let's try your system when you have Josh McDaniels as your coach. Let's see how that works. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, that's a good one to bring up. Because, again, Van Noy was, and it took a while with Van Noy. It didn't happen overnight.
They coached his ass up. They put him in the right spots. They covered up his deficiencies. They highlighted his strengths. They put him in the system, worked on him for a year or two, and the next thing you know, pretty good player. That's Bill Belichick.
Totally. Yeah, and that's why they can get away with it.
So... It's Bill. It's not the system. You think any coach can come in there and do that?
No.
No shot.
So like that. So that's sort of when I hear that, like that commentary is what sort of gets me. The Patriots, we've been here before. As I said all day yesterday, it's not going to change the bottom line, which, hell, if it's not going to change the bottom line, then why would you spend through the nose? You get to make more real money. You get to save on your cap if you believe in that nonsense. And so, like, why wouldn't you? If you're going to win 12 games either way and be in the AFC title game, I wouldn't want to pay through the nose either. I'd keep my money. So everybody wins. But the only thing you're sort of left with here when you're assessing the Patriots is to look at everybody else and call them stupid. No matter what they do, whether they sign the guy for big money or let the guy go because they don't want to pay big money. Because either way, you're stupid for signing him or you're in cap jail if you let him go. Even though you let players go for big money all the time, I never hear about your cap. In fact, Greg Bedard did something interesting on your cap. Maybe it's not as good as we think it is. Maybe it's not as airtight as you want to believe. Maybe there was a cap consideration there for Trey Flowers. I don't really believe it, but just to agitate you, I'm going to read the story anyway. So your thoughts, you can weigh in on NFL free agency and our Celtics discussion, 617-779-0985. We'll break here and come back early with your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I would aim on the second page, Murray, just to do your thing. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Oh, boy.
God, you throw like a... That is unbelievably bad.
Well, it's a marker. I don't know how you want me to throw the thing.
I need a baseball.
It's like Joe Kelly back here.
Yeah, really. Wade Miley is throwing markers. Top right.
I'll see you later, Jimmy.
Trey Flowers out of Arkansas.
And with the second pick of the fourth round, the New England Patriots select Trey Flowers.
Wright looks to throw. He's pressured. He's wrapped up. He's thrown backward. Another sack by Trey Flowers. He's been in on three sacks this evening.
Where the back to the right of Mahomes, who takes the snap on third down and nine, dropping back, scrambling away from the pocket.
He's tripped up and he's dropped back at the 37-yard line.
No field goal.
Trey Flowers in pursuit with Van Noy, Claiborne, and Hightower.
Way to go, boys. Way to push that pocket.
Gurley to the right of Goff, who takes the snap against a four-man push. He's pressured. And he's sacked yet again.
You can't see stuff.
Two defenders collapse the quarterback. Trey Flowers and Dante Hightower. Again on the spot on a Super Bowl stage.
The biggest defensive free agent is going to sign with the Detroit Lions. Trey Flowers, another former Patriot, going to reunite with Matt Patricia.
Trey Flowers now, this is what you need. You have a guy now who is a multi-positional player, defensive tackle, defensive end, can stand up in a two-point at defensive end. And a guy who, have you heard anything bad about Trey Flowers since he's come into the league? Is he someone who you can't depend on? Absolutely not.
Good job, Jimmy. A little Trey Flowers retrospective. I forgot. Maybe that's why we're so partial to the guy. The Felger and Maz big board hit.
One of the many.
Completely forgot.
Yeah, me too. Completely forgot.
Boy, we've pumped out some good players, haven't we? Seriously.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Sort of like them. Hit and miss.
Garoppolo.
Anyway, Trey Flowers gone. And was the cap part of the reason? You know, I mean, I don't think it is, but just I'll read it from Greg Bedard quickly. He says on Boston Sports Journal, Flowers is the biggest loss to the team, and it's not even close. That being said, I'm not sure what else they could have done. Part of it was their own doing, writes Bedard. I'm sure the Patriots went to Flowers last offseason and tried to do a win-win deal for both sides. Flowers would have made more last season, but the team would be getting a better rate going forward, similar to what Malcolm Butler was proposed with as well. Both players, says Bedard, 1 year away from free agency, decided not to take the below-market rates from the team and bet on themselves, and they both won. He says, if you were going to criticize the Patriots for not retaining Flowers, a Patriot, if there ever was one, he says, the guy switched sides heading into free agency or heading into a contract year, he writes. If you're going to criticize the Patriots for not retaining Flowers, it would have to do with their lack of success in the draft lately. That's meant the roster has gotten older and they've relied on veterans, which is more expensive. It certainly hasn't hurt them on the field to this point, he writes, but it has affected roster building. Simply, because the Patriots have had to rely on more veterans, it has affected their cap. Remember, the Patriots needed to restructure Stephon Gilmore's contract last season just to cover their cap obligations. People thought the move at the time was about making a trade. No, it was about the Patriots gaining financial flexibility, in case incentives kicked in on other players. He said, but the overall point holds true. Until the Patriots start replacing veterans with drafted, i.e. cheap players, they're going to have a hard time re-signing all of their internal talent without sacrificing future cap space. Think of it this way, he said. The Patriots had 38 players on their roster last season make at least $1 million in average annual value. The Rams, by way of comparison, had only 23. Okay, difference of 15 players. So the Patriots had 38 guys making at least $1 million a year on average. The Rams, just to compare, had just 23. Bedard says, say those 15 players represented $1.5 million. Add it all up, that's another $22.5 million in cap space, and that would allow you to retain Flowers. He says, just in case, just to finish it up, he says, as for how they replace Flowers, Michael Bennett is plug and play. Bennett's the same player, just older, with a little more tread and mouthy baggage. It makes it more likely Adrian Claiborne, who did improve as the year went on, is back next season.
Ugh.
Did he improve as the year went on?
Nope.
He was okay in the playoffs. He made some plays in the playoffs, but that was...
How much does he make? Three-something?
Something like that. It was like 2 years, six-something, right?
He says it makes it more likely Adrian Claiborne, who did improve, is back. Dedrick Wise's role has grown each season, and he's a borderline starter. John Simon should be retained. Derek Rivers, I'm not holding my breath, but we'll see. To date, he has shown nothing to indicate he's ready for a larger role, but players are not static objects. Expect another street free agent, trade, and or drafted player. On that last piece, I said this yesterday, and I didn't even apply it to the Patriots. I should. Remember when I said some pass rushers are going to come cheap because there's a lot of those draft options?
Yeah, it's a deep draft in the defensive line.
So the Pats are obviously going to go there.
I mean, that's what I have felt. That's just part of the reason why I didn't want to give up the first-round pick for Josh Rosen, is that it's a deep defensive line draft, and they can get a defensive lineman at the end of the first round.
So they're obviously going to go there. All right. He says that there are 38 players with at least $1 million average annual value, and that's high, and that clogs up your cap. So I haven't done the roster analysis myself. I'm just sort of picking my way through it right now as I speak. I would also ask, how many of those pure special teamers do they have that take up, you know, that kind of money and just do special teams? And that's, you know, sort of been a longstanding complaint of the team too. Is their cap clogged up by too robust of a middle class for special teamers when they weren't even that good last year in special teams, and the whole thing's been diminished across the league? Is that a second guess to be had there as well?
Sure it is. Yeah.
So anyway, that's Greg Bedard's thought on all those issues. We'll get to this and your Celtics thoughts. Peter in Boston was holding on Kyrie. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good, Pete. What do you got?
I'd like to talk about Kyrie. I think, like, obviously he doesn't have a filter, you know, from his head to his mouth. And I agree with Murray's statement about him. And I also like the caller that called up and made the analogy about a drunken father. I think that was a great analogy, and he hit, probably pretty much hit that ball out of the park with him.
And you're all just sort of at the mercy of the guy. What does he look like today? How's he shown up? Has he had any? You know, this, and I don't want to take it too far because I'm not calling Kyrie an alcoholic, but it's like, what mood?
The unpredictability of it. That's why I use that analogy.
It feels like the Celtics are at the mercy of Kyrie's mood. He's happy. They're happy. He's all bent out of shape. They're all uneasy. And it's just sort of riding this roller coaster of Kyrie's moods and emotions.
Think about that. Some practices, they're up. They're feeling good. This is probably how that whole West Coast road trip is, because he was in a good mood and they were away from home. How's it going to be when he comes back? What if he hears us or some fans bitching to him a little bit? Maybe they lose a couple of games here. How's it going to go? Oh, dad's home drunk again. He's going to be yelling at everybody. Here comes the black cloud hanging over the house. Here comes the black cloud hanging over the Celtics because of his mood.
It's painful.
Oh, it's a roller coaster ride.
It's a brutal existence for the other 11 guys and the coaches and the head coach. Brutal, because you walk in every day saying, what are we getting?
And the question is, he obviously, you know, he obviously had a sort of epiphany out there in Los Angeles, and he lightened up and he apologized and he, you know, really took on a really right approach in all of this, right? It all turned for him. His mood turned in L.A. for the better. Do you trust it to continue? Do you trust him? Mike in Danvers on the Patriots, though. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? So here's the thing. Enough of the pleasantries. So thank you guys for everything you've done for the Patriots, but don't let the door hit you on the way out. Okay? That's how I feel about it as a Patriots fan, and I'm going to tell you why. Every single player that supposedly they should have signed for big money that has gone to these other teams, none of those teams have won championships. Not one of them.
Oh, really?
Okay, so that's right.
Oh, no, you haven't done your homework, Mike.
Name me one, then, Falcon.
Aqib Talib.
But so there's nothing wrong with his character, Falcon?
Well, hold on. That's not what you said. You said not one of these guys have gone anywhere and done anything.
Okay, so that's one. Name another.
Adam Vinatieri.
Oh, come on. Mike, are you serious?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Is Adam Vinatieri a big money guy? Is he going to sign for big money?
You didn't qualify it. You just said, okay, name a guy that's gone anywhere and won another.
We're talking about the big, The big money players, Chandler Jones, these guys, have they won championships with the teams they went to?
Well, not all of them, but they've done very well. A lot of players have done very well. You ever hear of Akeem Hicks?
Okay. Let me make one other point, because I have to make this on Murray. Last year at this same time, Murray was sitting there saying, left the blind side, Brady's blind side, left side, what's going to happen? Well, what happened, Mike? They won another championship. Now we're talking, we're saying the same thing all over again. Bill doesn't have to pay a lot of money to get results.
Agreed. We all agree with that.
Yeah, and he'll always get it right, and I'm sure I'll always be wrong, but I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, no, everything will be fine. Yeah, I couldn't have been more wrong about Nate Solder. I thought he was the most important piece to bring back last year. He sucked with the Giants. They figured it out with Trent Brown. I'd like Trent Brown to be here on a franchise tag for 1 year so they have his insurance as they bring the fat kid from Georgia along with the bum leg. But no, it'll be fine. He'll be their left tackle. They won't skip a beat. I'll be wrong, they'll be right again. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, okay, no, let's just play along to play along. I'm not doing it.
I mean, and he doesn't always get it right. Bill sometimes gets it wrong and then has to work around it.
Which he's pretty good at.
He's great at it. Great. Again, nobody better. There's nobody you'd rather have coaching your team. And whatever, you know, budget restrictions Robert Kraft is putting on him, Bill Belichick is worth his weight in gold for that difference.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And a good example of that is Akeem Hicks.
And based on the pictures I've seen, Belichick's weight is considerable.
Ty and Newton on the Celts. Go ahead, Ty.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just wanted to bring up a point of attention. The Celtics signing of Gordon Hayward was a looked after a thought process. It was a great signing as far as I'm concerned. What happened was when he got injured and went down so early last year, the anticipation for him to play carried over into this year. Now what happens is that the Celtics start him out coming after a really serious injury. He's on the floor playing his heart out. But the injury, he wasn't well enough to play, to start, at least to start in a starting position, I think. And so as the season went on, probably after the first 10, 12 games, it was evident that he wasn't ready. However, the Celtics probably should have had another plan B to fill in for him on the court. Now we get into the midseason, now halfway season.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry, Ty. They should have had a plan B for Gordon Hayward?
Well, they should have had plan B to fill in his
They
position.
Do. They have a ton of young wings. They have Tatum. They have Brown. They shouldn't need to go on.
I agree. But, again, those young men played their hearts out in the playoffs last year. But they fall short of the capabilities of Brown and Kyrie, I think. Now, you may dispute that if you want to, but...
Okay, well, let me just stop you there. Do you have a thought on anything he was rambling
I have no
about?
Idea what his point is.
Me neither.
I don't know where he's going. What's the point? I mean, the subject line of his call said the Celtics need a big man. So I don't know how that all relates to Hayward. I'll tell you this, that the Hayward thing's been a problem for them all year. It's gotten better lately because he's played better. So look, they've had to balance that. How do you get a guy better without outplaying him? You don't. So they've been balancing that. I thought that recently they had reached a sort of make or break point with Hayward. And we talked about this right before that trip. Like, what's the deal here? You either put him on the bench or he comes around.
What did he do last night?
He didn't do much. I think he took 7 shots. I was just looking that up because to me, and again, he had 8 points last night.
And what do you do, you know, with the Lakers? Has there been a little backslide there? So he comes out.
So the Laker game, he was pretty good. I mean, 15.6 of 8 shooting.
Okay.
Well, what I would describe as his typically efficient game.
Comes off the plane, gangbusters against the Warriors. It's a game-winning shot against Sacramento. That's a little less against the Lakers, and then last night sort of meh.
Right.
So I just wonder if that, you know, where the arrow is pointing on that.
So good question. But again, the arrow was backwards on everybody last night.
The previous caller, Chris Long, also, you let go in free agency and won a Super Bowl championship the year after you let him go in free agency. I'm going to compile a little list because, you know, people, I feel like that's a myth that used to be, yeah, you let guys go, they do nothing and they don't do anything. That's not exactly the way it used to be. You've let go plenty of good players who've actually gone on and done a lot of good things and won, and it's not quite the way it used to be.
No, and see, people, again, they misinterpret this because the Patriots have continued on their path without guys. It doesn't mean all those guys are bums. Like, you know, some of them have done well in other places, even if they haven't won championships.
They've awoke a sleeping giant over there, haven't they?
What?
You know who.
You.
What am I doing? I don't get it.
Hey, there's a little bit more bite there today.
Yeah, we get a little more. You know what I hear? It's a heartbeat, Mark.
Here's Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
As for the receiver situation, there's something percolating even beyond who they're looking at or who they might sign. And that's what they have to do internally, Maz. What stands out to you about that?
I mean, to me, Julian Edelman, with the numbers that are being thrown around in receivers, and now I'm talking specifically slot guys. Adam Humphrey's got 4 years, $36 million. That's $9 million per, and I think 19 was guaranteed. I looked this morning, and I didn't see the guaranteed money up. This afternoon, though, I think I saw that 19 came out for him. Jamison Crowder, Murray, what was that deal? 3 years for 28.5?
Something like that, yeah.
So that's 9.5 per? I mean, that's a ton of money for a guy like that. And he had, you know, a guaranteed money, I think, in the mid-teens, $17 million or something like that. So those two guys... Start there.
Hold on. Let me give you one more.
Cole Beasley happened today, right?
Beasley, 4 years, $29 million. That's 7.25 per year. $17 million over the first two. $14.5 guaranteed.
Okay, so these guys are all coming in somewhere like, you know, between 8.5 and 9.5 guaranteed over the first couple of years. Julian Edelman's base salary this year, $2 million bucks. $2 million bucks. No, look, you know, I think at this stage, really, he's been underpaid his whole career, frankly. His latest extension, if I'm not mistaken, I looked it up last night, was 2 years, $11 million. Okay? And he's got, and that was a tack on of a previous deal where they ripped up the final year, blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is this, grotesquely underpaid. Grotesquely. And for a guy who has done what he has done for this franchise all the way around, take the hits he has taken, and then play like he played in the biggest games this year, an MVP of the Super Bowl, Tom Brady's bread and butter, all of the above, going into the final year of a contract. You got to take care of this guy. I mean, his money has got to be tripled, maybe quadrupled.
What do you think the odds are of that?
Zero. Now, they'll do something for him, but they won't do that.
One of those nice little incentive packages that Gronk and Brady have gotten the last
couple. I mean, holy crap, if there has ever been a Patriot more justified to hold out, name him for me. $2 million in base salary for Julian Edelman when Adam Humphries and Jamison Crowder and Cole Beasley are all hauling in deals at identical positions of $8 million a year, $9 million a year. That is, I say this with a completely straight face, if I'm the Patriots, I'd be embarrassed.
I'd say, ashamed of yourselves.
I'd be embarrassed about that.
He would never, ever hold out because of the symbiotic relationship he has with Tom Brady. Ever. He'd never do it.
So you're probably right, Murray. I just, again, when I looked it up last night and I saw the base salary.
Oh, it's nothing.
Oh, my God. With these guys getting the money they're getting, you got to do something for this guy. He's been underpaid anyway.
Okay, so we'll see. We'll see what they got up their sleeves. I do think they have something up their sleeves. Something else did occur to me. How all these signings are being made during the tampering period, the legal tampering period, but you're not supposed to, like, I don't think anyone's actually bothered to go back and look at this, but are you even allowed to talk numbers? Are you allowed to, like, when it first came out and they first started this thing, they did it because it was such a farce. Guys would sign within 10 minutes of free agency starting. It's like, well, you guys have been talking, so let's memorialize this. You don't have to sneak around. We'll give you 3 days. But you're not allowed to talk specific numbers, and you can't sign. You can't make ironclad agreements. You're just allowed to make contact and talk parameters. I thought that's what it was. Now it's like signed, sealed, and delivered for, you know, to the cent. 5 years, $90 million, 40 guaranteed against injury and performance, 56 guaranteed. This is a Trey Flowers deal. 56 guaranteed total, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's supposed to work like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It wasn't. That wasn't the spirit of the thing when they started. I don't know exactly what's in the rule book. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots, just to prove one of their points, make sure that they're not a team that does this during the tampering period. And they wait for Wednesday at 4. Just so, I don't know.
They didn't want to be accused of any funny business
or something like that. Not to be accused of any funny business, even though the whole league's doing it. But also to sort of say, huh.
Bleah.
We're going to play by the rules even though the rest of you a-holes aren't. Yeah, the whole league's a bunch of cheat. We're the only one who's actually doing this by the book. We'll announce Wednesday at 4 when we're supposed to. And the rest of you can go violate the rules because that's what you do. We don't do that. You know, just, I don't know, like something along those lines. You know, just the way they are. You know, that there's some sort of point that they're going to try and make. And so this is why, and it actually gives me hope. Because you've heard nothing on Golden Tate. You've heard nothing on Earl Thomas. These are the guys that I want. I want Earl Thomas, Golden Tate. Those would be my 1-2. And I don't know. It just sounds like just them to say to the guy, we have an agreement, but don't say a word. Keep your mouth shut. This is the first order of business here is to keep your effing mouth shut. We have a deal. Don't say anything. We're going to leak it to the people we want to leak it to, and we're going to do it at 4 o'clock like we're supposed to.
Oh, I've completely given up on Golden Tate. Because if they were in on Adam Humphries, and Jeff Howe had a tweet saying that their number was maybe as high as 8 on Humphries. He got 4.36, so that's 9 a year, right? Who knows what the guaranteed money was. But if they were unwilling to do that, they're going to go for a 31-year-old wideout at $10 million
per. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe better. On a shorter deal, yeah.
I'm sorry. Tate at 10 is a better deal than Humphries at 8. He just is. I'd rather have Golden Tate at 11.
At 31?
Yeah, he's a better player. Oh, he's a better player.
Especially if, you know, the overall guaranteed money is less. Like, you know, Tate might, let's say it's $15 million guaranteed when Humphries was 19.
No, I would agree. I think he's a better player, but I when I consider the age, too, I don't know.
Okay, so maybe I'm dreaming on Tate. All I'm telling you is I just think they have something that they're going to announce Wednesday at 4, and we're going to go, oh, typical Patriots. They kept that under their hat. No one was expecting it, and they announced it when they were supposed to announce it, and, you know, here he is. And again, I'm not telling you it's likely. Just, you know, we all have guys you target or you would like. I think an Earl Thomas would be ballsy on this team. He'd be a great presence on this team. And Tate, is, I think, fits perfect for their offense. Love to have those guys, but maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's a trade that can't be executed till the new league year. You know, old Odell Beckham, if you're still dreaming about that. I mean, it feels like this tampering period has taken away the drama from tomorrow at 4 o'clock, but I'm telling you, I think there's going to be something tomorrow at 4 o'clock with the Patriots. I just have a feeling.
I mean, with them, we're going to get something here in the next couple of days anyway. I don't think they're going to go.
And if they had actually signed Humphries Murray, that's one of the guys that would be radio silence on. It's like, how can we have heard anything about Adam Humphries? Because we've heard nothing on Golden Tate. How can we have heard nothing on Golden Tate?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, maybe he's got something, and the team that got something with him said, shut up. We're not going to announce it now.
So this is another reason, though, I also think that if I'm Edelman, my ears perked up. So you were ready to give Humphries $8 million a year and I'm making $2 million. Like, I almost think even if they didn't sign him, I'm still sitting there if I'm Edelman going, well, wait a minute. You know, you didn't have anybody behind me last year. Now you want to go get someone, which is fine. You should. You should be planning for the future. Because the fact is that you can't, with your offense, with our offense, you can't possibly expect to go into a season without someone there to back me up. I get that. But you were going to give him 4 times that you're giving me?
Okay, so there's that. They got to deal with that either way. On the field, they need receivers. They still don't have any. Oh, they did qualify Josh Gordon. So they gave him that second round tender. If he ever gets off the exempt list there and actually comes off a suspension, he's yours for $2 million. $2 million, the most he's ever made since his rookie year, because he keeps peeing it away, literally, in suspensions and whatever. So he's back for $2 million if he ever gets off that suspension. That's the planet receiver, God help me, if that's it.
So, you can't, no. I mean, there's like the chances of him even playing next year are astronomically low.
Pick it up with your calls on Kyrie and the Patriots right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, back to your phones as promised. Here's Ben and Shirley on Josh Gordon. You want him back, Ben?
Well, I was reading on Kings of Boston Sports that they had offered him a tender based on the fact that he's suspended and not banned for life. So I just didn't know if you guys had any idea about that or if you wanted to comment on it, and I'll just listen.
Yeah, no, well, they have to retain his rights.
Yeah, it felt procedural to me that just in case he can come back, they have his rights.
But if he can come back, do you have any doubt that they're going to bring him back?
No, they want him because he's a good deal.
Yep. We're going to bring him back. We're going to bring him back. Which to me, I mean, again, it didn't work last year, but it made no difference. So that's just where we're at. They can even get it wrong, and it's not going to make a difference at the end, which is sort of how I feel with Josh Gordon, but I feel he's a waste of time. I mean, he was a waste of your time. But I will say this. If you do bring him back, use him as the possession receiver you used him in the second half of last year, not as that downfield threat you're trying to force down our throats in the first half.
Maybe they figured that out.
You know, they certainly did, because coming out of the bye, they didn't go over the top to him hardly once. Felt like it was all underneath stuff and slants and whatnot, and I think he's good at that. Good hands, physical guy, can box out the receiver. Just turn him into a possession guy. That's all they need. It's all I want. So, I mean, on the field, there's whole that piece. You know, I hate to take the top off the defense guy. Like, I just think that's so overrated, so I don't care about him for that. But on the field, turn him into that guy. Off the field, you know how I feel about those receivers. And I do lump them in with the Odell Beckhams and the Antonio Bryants. I'm not saying they all have the exact same problems or that they have the exact same issues.
Antonio Brown.
Right. Antonio Brown. God.
Here we go again.
Do that again?
It's so easy.
It's unbelievable. Oh, my God. But... but I do, it's under the broad umbrella of pain in the ass receiver. He's got a whole different set of pains. But please, why? For what? So I would have nothing to do with the guy. But if you're going to bring him back, at least use him the way you used him in the second half of last year. Pete in Delaware on Kyrie Irving. Do you trust him the rest of the year there, Pete?
Oh, hell no. I don't trust him at all. But one of the reasons I wanted to call you guys is I'm looking at Danny Ainge, and I have to ask the question. I keep hearing this, they've researched, like, Anthony Davis. They're okay to bring him in. I've heard that with Kyrie. What did they research with Kyrie? How did you not know how conflicted, and I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say this, but there's mentally something not there with this guy at times. I don't think he knows what they want, but you can't tell me they did their full research on this guy.
I don't think
they did.
Yeah, I don't think they did, Pete. I mean, other than know that he's mercurial, that's being kind. Another way to say it, the moody a-hole, you know. But I think they have this confidence that they'll get here, they'll like it, and they won't want to leave. Because it happened with Garnett, it's happened with a few guys. Where they brought him in, they liked it, and, you know, they were able to keep him. And I think that they feel that that's going to happen for whoever they bring in here. They've got to be careful with that.
Sure.
I mean, you're giving up real assets for guys who may or may not want to be here. And that's how I feel about the whole Anthony. That's how I feel about Kyrie and Anthony Davis and the whole team building thing. I'll take those guys if they want to be here. But chasing guys that you got to sort of twist their arm to stay, I don't know how smart that is.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing, though, that they went into it, you know, blind. And I'm not saying that they did in this case. Like, there are certain things you can find out about a guy ahead of time. There are others that you can't. Like, what other environment had Kyrie ever been in like this where he was the lead guy? He was always with LeBron, so he was shielded.
And it's not just that. He's trying to be LeBron in a place that really isn't conducive to the LeBron guy.
Good point.
The Celtics are really about the organization. It's not about the guy. They're going to be less willing to sell out for one player in some other places. Cleveland's beholden to the LeBron thing. Celtics are a little different, although I wonder sometimes with the way they've kissed Kyrie's ass this year. But still, you know, who's the face of the franchise? You know, it's the Leprechaun, it's Danny, it's Brad Stevens. It's not going to be a player. You know what I mean?
No, right. It's bigger than that.
So, you know, I just don't know if it's the right fit. Bob and Needham on the Patriots. Go ahead, Bob.
Felger, you tell me that Danny Ainge wants to win every trade.
the Patriots apparently want to win every negotiation because they lost Brown and Flowers. They haven't. So how are they going to fill those spots? You were down there for years. It's why are they so reticent to pay anybody at the their market value? They won't. They want everybody to take a hometown discount. And Murray, this is for you. The only reason that the Patriots have been able to pull this nonsense off is because of Brady. And you agree with me completely, I'm sure.
It's a coach too.
Yeah, and Belichick too.
Belichick is a coach.
Yeah.
Belichick is a coach. Belichick as a GM can be cheap. Belichick as a GM can be a hard ass. Belichick as a GM can whiff on guys at the draft or free agency. He can whiff on a contract. And what he's left with, because he's so damn good, he can get the most out of that piece that he's left with. And it makes it look like he picked the right guy over the wrong guy when who really knows when he just coached up the guy he was left with. And that's sort of what you run into here. So why do the Patriots, and they don't always make you take a discount. They make the exceptions for the random guy every so often. They will dig deep for a certain guy. I thought Trey Flowers would have been one of them because he just checks all the boxes for him.
Except he plays a premium position.
Okay, there's that. There's that where, you know, that.
And again, I'm not arguing for the Patriots. I'm telling you that typically they don't pay guys at the premium positions premium dollars. Typically they have. Gilmore, they paid big money, and Revis, they paid big money.
Well, not their guy. And Revis, they didn't really pay big money.
The other thing, too, is just in taking
he came in on that 1 year.
So, right, $12 million,
and they restructured it, and then they let him go before he was due big money.
It's a surprise because when you take account his attitude, and didn't Belichick a few years ago say at this point in his career he only really wants to coach guys that, you know, want to be coached and that he wants to deal with? I mean, what is this? Like you said, what did he ever say? We don't even know what he really sounds like. There's never sound from Trey Flowers. Consummate professional. Proved that he wanted to be coached and coached up. And you let him walk.
Well, you know, maybe if their books were in better shape, they would have kept him. He would have been the exception, as Bedard points out. Maybe they just couldn't because of how they've spent on other guys. I mean, this is what we ascribe to any other team that lets a good player go. Oh, they screwed up their cap. Now they screwed up their books. Idiots, they can't afford to keep their good players. So let's just apply the exact same. Well, why wouldn't we apply it here?
Yeah, because the Pats have a system, fella.
And Bedard points it out. Maybe they spent too much money elsewhere and couldn't figure it out with Flowers. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they did want to keep him, but because of, again, some commitments elsewhere on their payroll, they weren't able to do it. This guy has been online since we came on today. I don't want to keep him sitting for 2 hours. We're not talking Bruins today, but Scott in Weymouth wants to do it. Scott, if you're still there, sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Just be quick, please. So I just gave him all that run-up. He's not there. I don't believe he was on there for 2 hours. At some point, you thought he would have gotten the clue.
No, I'm glad he hung up. It's just a guy drives me crazy.
No, you're right.
There's a 10-second preamble every time he calls.
It's kind of a win-win there, I would say. All right, let's get to Michael Bennett, shall we? The anthem sitter. The anthem sitter coming up next after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.